This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. I'm here with our host, Travis Chance. Travis, you are a madman. That time you and your friends went cow tipping. Oh, Travis.
You got to love a little Bill Murray first thing in the morning. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, that's a little Bill Murray for you.
Yeah, a little Bill Murray, a little Stripes.
Yeah, from Stripes. But Travis, in all seriousness, you have been a financial advisor, planner, for a long time now. You've helped a lot of people in the community.
Going in my 21st year, Tony.
21 years. You must have started when you were 11.
I wish.
No. You don't look a day over 25.
Yeah, no, it's I think I've aged recently very, very rapidly. I no longer have my youthful face. No, I'm just kidding. I'm serious. No, it's just the gray, starting to get a little more salt and pepper
in the beard. Yeah, but your hair isn't gray. It's looking good.
Light. It's just the light. You're too kind. It's just the light.
Well, you still are a lot younger than me, so that's for sure. I work with a lot of 20-somethings and 30-somethings here, as you know.
Do they keep you feeling youthful and invigorated?
No, it's the opposite. No, in fact, they just joke about how old I am and say things that make me feel old.
You're I was born in the 70s. Shut up.
You remind me of my grandpa. I hear things like that. I'm like, wait, what? I'm not old enough to be your grandfather.
I feel your pain.
I'm still in my 50s. Come on. Give me a break.
Well, that's okay. Hey, because let's face it, they will never know the pleasure of essentially having one of the things you're passionate about. They'll never know the pleasure of actually having music. They have what they have to choose from today versus what we had.
We still
have a few one-ups.
Yeah, well, we definitely have some one-ups.
Movies, music, culture, all the basic stuff.
I'm just
kidding. They got the Savannah Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas. Yeah, the baseball team. I love them. That's great.
That is actually pretty interesting. I know that's way off topic for this morning, but that's pretty interesting. Did you see the 60 Minutes piece on the Savannah Bananas?
I did. Nationally known. I mean, even for a couple of years now, we've been talking about the Savannah Bananas, even up here in Minnesota.
Well, we used to do client events at the Savannah Bananas Park, and they've gotten so big. I mean, it is impossible to get a bulk amount of tickets. I mean, if you can get two tickets, you're doing well. So, it's amazing how fast that this generation. So we're going to talk about generations this morning.
Sure.
It's amazing how generations differ and how with YouTube, social media, how quickly the wildfire spreads today versus think about if they had grown organically back in the, 70s, 80s, 90s, et cetera, before the inception of all this, it would have, would they have ever gotten to this height without all that? Who knows? But definitely with YouTube and, ESPN now giving them a deal where they can be seen pretty much anytime, it's turned out to be a worldwide phenomenon. They got that on us,
They do. We have our own team, the St. Paul Saints, up here in that same league, and they've been around forever. And it's on a smaller level, but they're kind of the same. The games are fun. They're crazy. The announcers are fun. It's much better than going to a major league.
But you know what's crazy, Tony, is if you rewind the clock back 10 years, if you went to a single A, double A, triple A, whatever the leagues were at the time, you know, it was essentially just going to like a major league baseball. But now because of Savannah Bananas and you got, you know, all the offshoots that have come since then, it's changed the game. Like it really has, because, you know, it's turned it into an event. It's turned it into a show. And as I call it, it's a circus. It just happens to have baseball.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what Saints games are like too. And it's just so much fun. We actually, my entire family this past weekend went to a Saints game and it was Peanuts night. You know, Charles Schulz, who created the comic strip with Snoopy and Charlie Brown, with Peanuts, is from St. Paul, lived in St. Paul. Yeah. Lived in St. Paul. So all over St. Paul, you see big statues of Snoopy and Aunt Lucy and Charlie Brown. It's a great thing. He was a great man. Did a lot for the area. He's beloved here. He's a treasure in Minnesota, of course, especially St. Paul, but the St. Paul Saints have Peanuts nights and you get a free Peanuts jersey and a Linus blanket. And they have all these activities and goofy people, of course, like the Savannah Bananas. But the announcers are what I love. I would love to be an announcer because they make fun of the other team. They're not, it's not like official, like where they have to play it straight. And what happened was the other team, the Indianapolis Indians, got a home run. And we had had the momentum, but then they hit a home run and the crowd went quiet. And so, you know, he's running the bases, you know, the crowd's kind of, and the announcer with his big deep voice, you just hear booming because it kind of got quiet. He goes, whatever, throughout the whole stadium. And I laughed so hard. We were laughing so hard. I almost fell off out of my seat. You just see this guy running the bases. The crowd got really quiet and he just goes, whatever.
That's
and funny. He's also making fun, like, you know, the other team's batter will swing and miss. And he goes, that's a strike. That guy reminds me of a broken shutter just swinging in the breeze. and he's just ripping on the other team. That's why I love Saints. The announcers have so much fun. They're having the most fun of anyone. And that that's announcer awesome. Is so sarcastic. I love the whatever after the other team. It's
that's awesome.
All right. Yeah, well, hey,
I'll have to try to make one of those. That area.
And you'll see. I mean, the Saints have their own thing.
Hopefully it won't be as cold as the Washington Nationals game that we went to. I think I'm still thawing out from that.
Well, hey, we wanted to talk about we talked before the show and we decided to call the show Knives Out.
Knives Out.
So why are you calling the show Knives Out? What does that mean?
Because, Tony, I honestly think that, and we're obviously taking a fun position with it, but it's a serious topic. You know, when someone, you know, works their entire life, they accumulate their assets, their home, their property, their tangible assets, houses, you know, cars, furniture, collections, coin club, whatever you have. And then of course your financial assets. At some point, the long and short of it is I've never seen a Brinks truck back up to a funeral. And we've got to leave it to someone, right? We've got to leave a legacy. We talk about, you know, the fact that I know it's something no one likes to hear, but if you don't put everything in writing and you don't specify who gets what, especially if you're coming from a blended marriage, it could get really contentious and it could get really aggressive. I mean, because people want what they want. And, you know, well, grandpa said 20 years ago, I could have this. And, you know, aunt and uncle John and Minnie said, I could have this. And this is, you know, this is mine, that's yours. And unfortunately, you and I both know, and we've had personal experiences with this. A lot of times, even if it's written down, sometimes it's very difficult to actually see through the process. So, you know, Knives Out is more of just thinking about, you know, just like the movie, right? You know, the guy died and all the people came out of the woodwork, and it was like, you know, who's going to get the, you know, who's going to get this and who's going to get that. And that's what we don't want, is we don't want knives out, right? We want to save Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? We want the only knives on the table to be the one cutting the turkey.
Yeah, you want to preserve.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Save the neck for me, Clark. Well, you want to preserve family harmony.
Absolutely.
And that's the only thing, because of your death, you don't want your death and your passing to create family disharmony or break up your family. You want
absolutely
them to get along. And so what I've learned, Travis, with this, and why this is so important to me, I saw it with my own grandfather when he passed. He lived to be 101, and he was active. He bought a car, a new truck, I think when he's 99. I'm not kidding, 98. He was driving. He camped 2 months before he died. He was camping.
Really?
2 or 3 months, yep. And he died of natural. He didn't have any disease, no cancer. Nothing. It's just his organs gave out. So he lived a long, healthy life. But when he died, and he had a tight-knit family, 4 kids, they loved each other, family gatherings, everybody got along. But when he died, the body wasn't even cold, and the problem started because the main reason was lack of communication, right? Mm-hmm. The youngest son was the executor of the will, and nothing had ever been communicated to the other three except individual conversations with my grandfather. But he didn't like to talk about money or his plans, right? He was one of those guys. He's 100% English. You know, great-grandfather came from England, and they're just stoic. They don't talk about emotions. Don't talk, you know, money is off the table, right? And that became a problem.
And you actually just hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of this comes from lack of communication, because we've kind of been, and I don't think this is an individual problem. I think as a whole, right, the generation, baby boomers especially, you just a lot of times don't have money conversations. It's,
right.
You know, I know it sounds weird, but could it be like, I don't want to say it's none of their business, but you just don't want to give that unfettered access, right? And I don't know why. I think for some people it's a conversation that can be had, but for many it's not. We are not comfortable deep down having those conversations. But the problem is, Tony, personalities, emotions, these are all things you can't govern. Emotions, personalities, and feelings through documents. It doesn't happen, right? I mean,
that's great way to put it.
That communication level has got to be there, because, you know, here again, you know, you think about, you know, every one-off conversation that you have with people, with family, with friends, with your kids. And, you know, what about that one conversation where maybe you and I'm just giving an example. Let's say that you and your daughter have a conversation, and you say, you know what, if something were to happen to me, I'd like for you to do this, or I'd like for you to have this. But then a few years later, you're not intending to do this. And all of a sudden you have a conversation with another child, and you say, and they say, well, what about this? And you say, yeah, that I would be okay with that. Well, you just had two conflicting conversations that were years apart that you did not intend to cause conflict, that each one of these or each one of these children are going to have that ingrained in them that dad, Tony, had that conversation and he wanted me to have this, or he wanted this to happen. Well, then they're going to feel passionately about it. And then one's going to feel this way. One's going to feel that way. They're going to clash in the middle. All of a sudden you have cousins that don't speak because brothers and sisters become, you know, estranged because, he's trying to take this away from me, or she's trying to do this. And in actuality, it was not intended to be that way. But yeah. I think that's where I would recommend. And I know you and I've talked about on the show, go ahead and have these conversations and have them in, I mean, they're tough to have, but have them in a group conversation. They can be awkward. They can be awkward, and that's part of it. But once you get past that initial awkwardness, that family meeting will do a lot and go it will take a huge amount of that pressure off of everyone in the room so that you can actually discuss, you know, what you want for your kids, what you want for your grandkids, how do you want these things to be distributed at your passing to benefit everyone? Because, you know, there could be situations where not every child may be in the same situation. So, you know, maybe one child gets X and the other child gets Y, and they may not be equal, but they may be fair. I mean, that's where it starts to really kind of hit home, is if, you know, loved ones feel like they haven't been treated fairly in their minds. I mean, think about where the human mind goes, right?
It's just very tough.
It's
human instinct for all of us. And, you know, it's not like you're a bad person or anybody's a bad person because of it, but it's just instinctual. Like in your mind, you feel like, well, I deserve this because of this and this, and and that's what dad would have wanted. And you know, individually, if there's four kids, they're all thinking that same thing. Well, there's going to be a clash, right?
Well, I tell you something else that this is my opinion. I think especially if you're a blended family, you certainly need to have these conversations
with kids from previous marriages.
Yes,
like the beneficiary. Now we're getting into beneficiary. Yeah,
because if let's say, for instance, you know, husband and wife get together. The wife was married for 20 years before the second marriage and had two kids, and the husband had two kids, and now there's four kids in the family. And then, you know, we always talk about planning for the benefit or planning for the surviving spouse. Let's say the husband and wife change their beneficiaries where they're each other's primary, but then they leave their kids as secondary. Well, what happens if one of them passes and maybe that hasn't been talked about, because a lot of times, even when things get commingled, there's still some separation. What happens whenever those wishes are not put on paper and are not explicitly spelled out? And actually the mom, maybe she passes away. What happens whenever the surviving stepdad says, you know, hey, I'm going to leave all my assets to my kids, and that includes the assets I inherited from my wife.
And her kids get nothing.
And her kids, the legacy is no longer there. So that's the reason why we talk over and over about some of the hard decisions that have to be made. It's, you know, folks, I wish I could say that there was a how-to manual that comes with retirement having these conversations. It's just not. There's not a set amount or a set of rules that are going to govern this. But that's why I would tell you, and I know, Tony, you and I've had this conversation, folks, how often are you updating your will? Right. I mean, let's just start with the basics. Wills obviously don't govern the IRAs. They don't govern the life insurance policies, anything that can be left as a beneficiary. But how often are you talking about tangible assets? You know, who's going to get grandpa's boat? Who's going to get the pickup truck you learned to drive in, or whatever the case may be? These are the types of emotional assets that can really fracture a family. And we certainly don't want that to happen. So wills are a huge step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And if you do get your will redone, it needs to be checked, I think, every 2 or 3 years, Tony. That's my rule of thumb, because how often do rules and laws change? A lot, right?
And I mean, life changes.
And right? Life changes.
Marriages, divorce, weddings, marriage. Yep. Births. Yep.
So, and then also think about this too. It doesn't have to be just this really intensive, expensive experience either. What if you just need to file a codicil? What if you say, you know what, I'm everything in the will is accurate except these one or two, three items. Well, in that case, all you need to do is file a codicil, and it's basically kind of like a one page that just goes on top and says everything in this will is still valid, except these items have been disposed of. These items have already been, you know, bequeathed, whatever. We're going to go ahead and move forward, but these are no longer in the will. Everything else is valid. Those are types of things. Good housekeeping, you know, sweeping our steps. We just make sure we need to make sure we update that process. And if you want to go a step further, maybe a trust. I mean, trust, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. And I use this a lot because it is accurate. Trust should be called a don't trust. It should be called a don't trust because you don't trust that the assets, number one, are going to be able to be received and distributed the way you want. So you go ahead and set the parameters. You know, I want this one to get this one to get that. They're most of the time going to involve like real estate or cash, or you can put IRAs, you know, still have the 10-year rule, but you can put, you know, retirement accounts, et cetera. Or maybe you don't trust that, I hate to say this, this is where the blended family and the family start coming together. What if you don't trust the people who are going to be influencing your beneficiaries, that they're going to help them make good decisions? You take that out of the equation. You use a trust. You use that document to govern those assets. Or if you think, you know, maybe the person you're leaving the assets to, maybe leaving them a sizable estate could do more harm than good. Maybe it's going to put more pressure on them, cause them to make choices you knew that may not otherwise be made, right? Because money changes people. That is 100% accurate. It is a whole different story when all of a sudden you see 6-7 zeros in your bank account. Trust me. Financial and healthcare powers of attorney, right? These are things, they're not certainly something in legacy, but since we're talking financial documents, Tony, certainly something we need to consider. Beneficiary designations. That's another thing.
Huge.
You have to update your beneficiaries. And if you want to make sure that as it gets passed down through the system, that's where a trust could come in. Instead of naming a beneficiary, you name the beneficiaries in a trust so that basically they can't be changed after your passing. These are all things that we need to really think about. And folks, last but certainly not least, and I've said this before, Tony, and I know you and I agree, it's not what you leave to your kids. It's what you leave in your kids that matters, and yes, and the values and the life experiences that you share with them. You know, assets, folks, in two generations, let's face it, they're going to be gone. I mean, it's just in most cases that's going to happen. So is it really worth leaving your family and your familial legacy at risk just because of maybe not wanting to have those awkward conversations? I don't think so. So let's help them put the knives up, not go knives out. And that's what our position is. And for you out there listening, if you have had conversations with your spouse, you've thought about having these conversations, but you don't know really where to start, that's what your advisor's for, or that's what they should be for. And I know a lot of times we think it, you know, we hear advisor and we think they're just there for investments. No, that's more the financial salesperson, right? A financial advisor, a trusted financial confidant, a consigliere, if you will. That's their job, is to help you talk through some of those issues and figure out a way to coordinate your efforts to make sure that your goals, your objectives, and your kids all match up, and really make sure that you're covering all your bases, because I don't want you to jeopardize future Christmases and Thanksgivings because we didn't have this conversation. So if you're out there and that's been a tough conversation for you to have, give us a call, 877-269-0839. That's 877-269-0839.
Well, Travis, I'm so glad you talked about this topic today. It's so important. Listeners, pick up the phone, give Travis a call. Make sure you have a financial plan in place, but just as important or more important, make sure you have a legacy plan in place and are taking care of these things. Again, thanks for tuning in. And Travis, great show. That does it for today's episode of Navigating Your Retirement with our host, Travis Chance.
Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839. or visit them online at navigatingretirementradio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.